And take your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1. We are getting closer to the end of chapter 1, but still several things to look at. We are on lesson number 3. Lesson number 3, the title, The Audience is Revealed. And we have also lesson 4 available, The Assignment is Revealed. So if you need either lesson 3 or lesson 4, you can raise your hand. And we'll make sure and get those to you. Raise your hands real high if you need either of those, 3 or 4. D, what do you need? Oh, you're signing to raise your hand. What's the sign for raise your hand? That's what I thought. All right, very good. Amen. See, we all just learned sign language. Very good. All right, get those out, Brother Collins. You don't have 3? What do you need, Brother Bremer?
3 and 4.
Huh. Was that you, Don? Tell him I said hello. All right. Lesson 3 and 4 are available. We'll probably get lesson 3. We'll get through that today, perhaps. We'll see. Revelation 1:3 is our memory verse for today, for lesson 3. So go ahead and turn there, and we'll say that together. As soon as we get everything, well, if we don't have the lesson, we have it right there in the Bible, Revelation 1:3. Let's say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation 1:3. And again, Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation 1:3. Father, please bless our time now and speak to our hearts. Give us a challenge from your word today. Teach us. Help us to understand this wonderful book that you've given to us. And I pray that it will affect us in the way that you've chosen for it to. Please help us to yield to what you're speaking to our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And of course, we've broken down the book of Revelation into a little outline. We broke it down into 7 sections. The first section is the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, and that is dealing with Revelation chapter 1, the revealing of Jesus. And lesson 3 is the audience is revealed to us, the audience for the book of Revelation, and obviously it's for the whole world, but specifically some things are listed. Number 1, the servants in the audience, specific servants, special servants, and sovereign servants we looked at. And then Roman number 2, we also see the audience being the 7 churches. They are in the audience. And dealing with the 7 candlesticks, the Savior in the midst, and then the 7 stars that we looked at last week, capital C of Roman numeral 2, the 7 stars. And then Roman numeral 3, we have the significance of the audience. And what is so important about what is it the audience is supposed to get? What is the significance? And so, capital A, that they might behold. And the idea, we talked about this last week, the idea was that the Bible says that God wanted to show his servants. It says to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Well, obviously, we are some of those servants. And we already talked about that. How are we going to see it? Well, we're going to see it through the Word of God. We're going to see it by what God revealed to John and the words that God gave to John. And so then we're going to be able to see it. And it's going to help us. And that is throughout the Scripture how God works. God will show something, for example, to me, and then I will be able to, somebody else is going through that same thing or maybe has that same question or problem or whatever, and then I'm supposed to take what God gave to me and I'm supposed to give it to them and help them with it. And that is taught throughout Scripture. We looked at many verses about that last week. And again, that is very common in Christianity. That's what we're supposed to do. It's amazing how, sad to say, it's gotten away from that. We're supposed to be witnesses. Witnesses of what? Well, witnesses, a witness tells what he's seen. He tells what's happened to himself. And we are supposed to be witnesses to a world that is going to hell. We know how to go to heaven. We know how to be saved. So we're supposed to be a witness. We're supposed to tell them how to be saved. And again, this is that they may behold, or that they might behold what we have been able to receive, they too might receive. I thank God for the witnesses in my life who were saved and were not afraid to tell a hippie teenager like myself back in the 70s. They weren't afraid to tell me what they had seen and what had happened in their life. And by them telling me, that affected me. And then I was able to behold what they beheld. And folks, let's not be in a shell. Let's not be on an island. Let's be quick to tell others about what we've seen. And again, it's not just the lost. It's telling other Christians. If you've gone through a hard time, I guarantee somebody's going through that same hard time. And now you take the comfort that God gave you, or you take the wisdom that God gave you. You take the learning that God gave you, whatever it is God gave you and God dealt with you about. Now you go to that person and you share that with them, that they might behold what you beheld. And it's like coming out of this class. I mean, that you would go to work and take what you learned and show it to them so that they can behold what you beheld. So, very practical in chapter 1. So much has been very, very practical and applies to our day, every day. I realize it's not all the prophecy and the exciting things that are going on. By the way, there are so many exciting things going on. I mean, it is just, our world is, it's almost reading the paper. It's like reading the Bible now. If you read the paper enough, you can just write verses next to paragraphs in the newspaper of prophecy being fulfilled, or at least things happening that certainly look like the fulfillment of prophecy. And it is an exciting day we live in. But it's also a day we live in, and we need to live. And God told John, I want people to see what you've seen. And again, that's not just for John. That's for all of us. God says, you know something somebody else doesn't know. Now you tell them and you show them. So capital A, that they might behold. Capital B, that they might be blessed. Again, verse 3 says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So not only is it significant to have this audience gathered together that is reading this, which we are part of that audience, because they might behold, but also that they might be blessed. God wants us to be blessed. I mean, that's a wonderful thing, that God wants us to be blessed. Often we look at the word blessed and we think of being happy and just having happiness and, you know, blessing of God. And God says, I want you to be blessed. I want you to read this book so that you can be blessed. So he wants us to behold the truth and behold the things that John is able to behold. But he also wants, because he wants us to be blessed. But there is a formula, as there always is in Scripture, there's a formula for this blessing to take place, and it's right here in verse 3. And the first part of it is this: blessed is he that readeth. Blessed is he that readeth. And again, verse 11, it says, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. Okay, and obviously we've talked about that. We'll talk about it again. But write in a book so that we can read it. Amen? And thank God we have a book. Thank God we have a Bible. Amen? That we may read it. And if you don't, you know, blessed is he that readeth. Whoever reads this, God says, you're going to be blessed. I'm going to bless you. I'm excited about, I mentioned this on Wednesday night and have told a few others. May 2nd, of course, is the birth date of the 400 years of the King James Bible. And so May 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, we are going to read through the Bible as a church, and everybody's going to get involved, especially those 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning slots. But we're going to start here on Sunday morning, May 1st, right after the morning service, and I'm going to start out with Genesis 1:1, and I'm going to read for 15 minutes, and then I think David's going to read for 15 minutes, then my wife's going to read for 15 minutes, and then somebody else will read 15 minutes, and then 15 minutes, and 300 and some times of 15 minutes, and by the end of by the service on May 4th, which is a Wednesday night service, we're going to be at the book of Revelation, and we're going to read it all together, and it's going to be great. It is going to be such an exciting time, and I'm very excited about it. My only nervousness is that 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning slot. Those slots make me a little nervous, but I tell my class about it because you folks have character to do it. You say, why'd you only sign up for 15 minutes? Well, I'm nervously contemplating those slots that are going to be left over. So, actually, I think it's going to fill up because it will be a historic time for our church, and it'll be a blessed time. We're going to have a brand new super giant print Bible, and everybody will sign it that reads. And we have our school already. I've got them plugged in to different times when they're available. And I'll have the sign-up sheet going around. So you think about how many hours you can, how much time you could put into it and what times. And don't think, I got to get those easy times. Somebody's got to take those hard times. And please help us out. I'm excited. But again, It's not just a matter of reading. It's the Word of God. And blessed. And I want to put an ad in the paper. We're going to take up a special offering to pay for that ad and put a full page. It's about $1,000. And I want to put an ad in the paper just talking about the Bible, the Word of God, and specifically the authorized King James Bible. And, 400 years, that is an amazing thing. And, books that are popular today, I guarantee you, 2 years from now, nobody will care about them. Yeah, there'll be some. But the old King James Bible, it has lasted and lasted and lasted. And I'll give you some statistics on all that. Probably be in the ad. But reading the Word of God. And you know what? That's a lost art today. People don't read very much, and I'm so excited. I don't remember how many it was that we had read through their Bible last year, but it was quite a few, and we gave out certificates. I hope that you are doing that. But God says, blessed are they that read. We can be blessed when we read the right material. We can be blessed, of course, by reading God's Word. And, especially if you take in context, reading the book of the Revelation. What a blessing. How many of you have read through the book of Revelation at least one time? How many? Oh, most of the folks in here. Now see, and really it's good to read it through in one's, in one sitting. I mean, you ought to take some time and just plan to read through the whole book of the Revelation in one sitting. And because it's so exciting. And let's see, how many pages is it? I'm going to say, about 28. So a little over an hour. You should be able to read through the book of Revelation. Now, I say 28 pages, but that's my super giant print Bible. And so that's a little more pages. But eventually I'll have one letter per page. But that would take a long time to read. But, it looks like right around 28 pages. So just a little over an hour, you should be able to read through the book of Revelation, depending how fast you read. And again, you're not trying to do it as a speed reader. You're just trying to read it and get something out of it. But it's exciting. It really is. And, of course, the context suffering, the context of, God, we're losing here. Certainly John could have easily felt that way, as did the Christians that this letter was supposed to go to. And, it's one of, it looks like we're going to lose, but we're not going to lose. Amen. We win. We are more than conquerors. And so what a blessing to read that we win. What a blessing to read that the devil is cast into the lake of fire. You know, what a blessing to read that the Antichrist, boy, you know, we see a lot of Antichrist-like people today, don't we? I mean, they're everywhere. And I mean, they're anti-God, anti-Christ, and they're everywhere. And just imagine, as vicious as they are, imagine what it's going to be like under the Antichrist. Wow. And he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And we win. But again, blessed are they that read. And reading the revelation is such a blessing. Why? Well, it says here at the end of verse 3, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. I would encourage you, again, take an hour out of your day and read through the book of Revelation. And I guarantee it'll bless you. It'll bless you. We do win, amen. And so there is a blessing from reading. Notice what else it says in verse 3. It says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. So not only the reading of it, but also those that hear. So it's not just reading, although that is a blessing itself, but then there's also preaching and teaching. And so we can hear the Word of God. We can read the Word of God. But I think the word here is a little more specifically this: letting it sink in. I really think God, I believe that hearing, preaching, and teaching is a blessing, and I wouldn't discount that. But I mean, God wants us to really hear it. Okay? He wants us to hear His word. He wants it to sink in. It's one thing to know the words. It's another thing to hear what those words are saying. It's one thing to just read through words. Now, God's word is supernatural. And so it does a work no matter what. But God wants us to hear it. God wants it to do something in our life. God wants it to change our lives. And so there's a blessing from reading it. There's a blessing from hearing the Word of God. But notice also in verse 3, it says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. To keep those things. Remember, we've talked about the word keep, and it's an interesting word that we use in a lot of different ways. But when you read your Bible, you'll read about the keepers of the prison, and what are they? They're guards. And God not only wants us to keep by doing the Word of God, He also wants us to guard the Word of God. Keep, to guard. And to do what we've read and heard. That's what God's after. That is a blessing in our lives. You know why so many Christians are miserable? Maybe they read and maybe they hear, but they don't keep. They don't guard. They're casual with the Word of God. I'm amazed how many folks today especially, you know, well, I just don't agree with that. Who in the world do we think we are? To do something or not do something based on whether we agree with it or not, if God says it. Who do we think we are? Well, we think we are who man has always thought man is. And going all the way back to Cain, who said, well, God says he wants his sacrifice this way. Well, I'm going to do it my way. And man has always, there's always been a way that seems right to a man. And the end is always death. That's why there's a blessing, though, when I read it and I hear it and I keep it and I do it. God says, I'm going to bless you. God says, blessed is the one. Okay, so again, as we go through Revelation, it's not just a matter of, okay, I've read this, I've heard this, now we need to keep it. Now we need to do what God tells us to do. You know, as we get to chapter 2 and 3, those letters to the churches, those are for us. Those apply. Everything in those letters, I mean, I guarantee throughout this church, there's some Laodiceans here. Amen. There are. There's some folks that will remind you of the people at Thyatira. There are some Ephesus Christians here. And be it good, be it bad, be it whatever, there's some things we can learn. There's some things God will teach us and show us, but it's still up to us to not just read and hear, but also to keep and do, and that means obey. You know, James talked about that we're to be doers and not hearers only. I used to get so frustrated. I had a fella where I pastored, and actually I had two fellas, but one was really, really, one guy was okay, but there was one guy, and he used to amen me. I mean, it was almost to a point of being obnoxious. And, you know, I like amens. I really do. To me, it's too quiet in here. No offense, but that's okay. I'm too old to come down and amen myself. I used to do that. Really, I did. I used to do that. I'd get fired up, and I'd go sit. I said, if you won't amen me, I'll amen myself. Now I'd get down there and probably wouldn't get back up. So I don't do that anymore. But this guy was just, you know, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, park on that. Sometimes he amen things that he should have been saying, oh me. But anyway, and that's always when, you know, it's just a show. But anyway, this guy was, you know, he didn't live the life. You know, he was a hearer and an amener, but he didn't live the life. I mean, he went out here and did all kinds of wicked things. So in a sense, he was being a worse testimony by his actions because they weren't backed up by his life. And what a problem that is. And, you know, I hope we're not these kind of folks say, well, bless God, we believe the Bible and we're going to stand for the Bible, but we don't obey the Bible. See, it's a problem. Well, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Well, do you really? Do you obey the Bible? Do you know that Christian Law Association, going to their seminars, and you have to really be careful. Have any of you ever been to a Christian Law Association seminar? Anybody? Okay. Nobody has? Well, then you don't know. Good. I can say anything I want. But Brother Gibbs, he'll show you how the trials go. And you have to understand, the opposition to Christianity, they know their Bible too. You'd think it changed their life. Well, they know it to use it against us, not to change their life. But they'll ask you on the stand. I remember Brother Gibbs one time, he put me on trial. I was the example. I'm never sitting up front again. Because, I mean, it's tough stuff. And especially in the areas of child rearing and, you know, where you say, okay, I believe the Bible, I'm convicted. Well, I think that was the trial that I was on, if I remember correctly. And he said, so, Pastor, you believe the Bible is the Word of God. Okay, and here's how it goes. You believe the Bible is the Word of God. Yes, I do. Have you ever read all of it? Wow. By the way, he says this. You'd be amazed how many Christians say, well, no. Really? And the opposition will say, really? You believe it's the Word of God and you've never read all of it? Well, have you ever read the newspaper? Yes. You ever read a magazine? Oh, yeah. You ever read any other book all the way through? Yes. Well, are those the Word of God? No. Well, it doesn't mean much to you then, does it? And you feel, you know, now you're about that tall. By the time they're done with you, you're about that tall. Because ultimately, they're going to question you on, do you do what it says? And it can be tough. It can really be tough. And again, that's how this is going. I mean, and we don't, typically we don't face any of that. We haven't yet. But what would you say if you were asked if the Bible was the Word of God? Of course it is. Have you read all the way through it? do you? Okay, and here's the one. Do you believe it's okay to beat a child? I'll never forget, he asked me that question. And what do you, you know, because the Bible does say beat.
Right.
It is in the Bible.
Right.
They got you. Well, what do you believe? And you either believe it or you don't. By the way, if you're a parent and you go to trial for that, because parents are all over the United States of America. They are. You know, you better know what you believe. You better know why you believe it. You really better. But that's a whole other subject. Point is, do you do what the Bible says? And do we do it? That's why church constitutions are being challenged. And it is, as long as you have the document, the piece of paper where it's written and the church voted on that, you're pretty protected. But now they're challenging, do you really believe that? And therefore, you know, your document better, you better be doing what your document says, because if you're inconsistent. So folks, seriously, and really that is right, isn't it? I mean, this is my document, and if I'm not doing what it says, aren't I being inconsistent? But here's what God says. God says, blessed. Now again, we know we can't. We know that's why we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because we can't keep the document. But the document's perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, the Bible says. We can't. And that's why Jesus died. But are we trying? Are we doing our best? Do we believe we should? And those kinds of things. God says, if you do, he says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. Read, hear, keep. Look at Revelation 22:7. Revelation 22:7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. And so again, capital A, that they might behold, capital B, that they might be blessed. I want God's blessing on my life. I need God's blessing. Everybody here, seriously, you want God's blessing. Read, hear, keep. And God says, You can have a blessing, and the book of the Revelation, there's a reason for it, just like every book of the Bible, and God wants to bless you and I. Capital A, that they might behold. Capital B, that they might be blessed. Capital C, that they might believe. And ultimately, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why? So that they might believe. You know, verse 9 says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, watch this, for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, for the word and for the testimony. He said, I'm on this island. I am banished to this island. I am a prisoner on this island for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm there for that very reason. Why? Because he believed it. That's why he's there. I'm there because I believe the Word of God and I believe the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm there. All over the world, Christians are being killed. for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. In our country, Christians are going to jail for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we really haven't seen anything yet here. People in other countries, they see it every day. You say, well, it's funny, I don't read about that in the mainstream. Yeah, you won't. You won't. It's not even often talked about. If there's not somebody like Glenn Herndon digging this stuff up and finding it and everything, nobody knows about it. There's a few, you know, some conservative folks that will talk about it, but there are Christian martyrs. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs and say, boy, it was tough back then. It's tough back now for a lot of Christians. You try to be a Christian in a Muslim country that is predominantly Muslim, I'm telling you, Christians are dying by the hundreds and thousands. And if this becomes a Muslim country, you say, oh, preacher, that's not going to... Oh, don't be deceived. I guarantee they believe they can make this a Muslim country. You say, no, there's good Muslims. Listen to me. Just like there's good crooks, I suppose. You know, there's good... I mean, you can call somebody good. I'm telling you, the very law of that is to wipe us out. There's nothing good about that. If in your document it says, kill anyone who doesn't believe like we believe, that's not good. That's not good. Do you understand? Okay, I know what the mainstream media talks about, and I know what other people talk about and everything else, but you just need to realize there are Christians being persecuted today. And if it could be so, it would be right here. And if it can be, it will be. And they will not hesitate. You know, some guy can commit suicide and he gets to go be with, what, 40 virgins or whatever it is. You know? And he believes that with all his heart. And all he has to do is just kill some Christians. I'm just telling you, it's a tough time, and I didn't mean to get in on all that. But see, John was persecuted, and he was persecuted because of what he believed. By the way, you know, all you have to do is just deny everything, and everybody will leave you alone. I have Christians all the time that will tell me, you know what, people at work, they talk about going to work and people giving them a hard time for their Christianity. Well, I'm a Christian. Nobody gives me a hard time. But does anybody know you're a Christian? Or by your lifestyle, do you deny it? Or by your silence, do you deny it? I know that in the 70s, when I worked at RCA and I was a new Christian, I know that once people knew I was a Christian, I mean, I was a target. And that was way back then. I mean, John is persecuted, and Christians were being persecuted because of what they believed. God's word, God's testimony. Now, again, the question is, do we believe? Look at Revelation 6 and verse 9. We have looked at these verses before, but it just tied in. Revelation 6 and verse 9. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. How many of you have ever heard of the Inquisition? Okay, so few. Isn't that amazing? And I guarantee if you go to the average 20 to 30-year-old, who went to public school, for example, they'd have no clue. And pretty much everybody just... But basically it was this. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yes, I do. Well, if you don't deny Him, we're going to kill you. And then they would torture the person to deny Christ. You know, who was doing that? What What was religion? It was the Roman Catholic Church. Now, nobody wants to talk about it. And you know, oh, that's a hate crime that you just committed. No, I'm just telling you, that's called a truth crime. It's just the truth. It's in the history books. It took place. It happened. What was the Holocaust all about? Was that a religious situation? Was that, or was it just a crazy man? But do you know that there are 20 to 30 year olds? I'm going to have to say the majority of 20 to 40 year olds don't even know what the Holocaust is. And more than that, have no clue what the Inquisition was all about, or even know what the word means. I don't know the numbers. Glenn, do you know the numbers of the thousands that were killed during the Inquisition? Thousands. Thousands. Now, I'm not, I'm not gloom and dooming here. I'm just saying, what was it for? It was for believing. Believing. Well, preacher, come on. I mean, we're talking about that they might behold, that they might be blessed, that they might believe, so they can die. They will. People that get saved during the tribulation, they will die. They will get, that's why, it's such a ridiculous argument people give often that, if the rapture takes place, I'll get saved then. You won't even think about getting saved. Try to compare, our morning service, for example, and the invitation I'll give. Don will come up here and he'll give me the song and we'll say, okay, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to trust Christ as your Savior, all you need to do is come. We'll take a Bible. We'll show you how to be saved. And you can trust Christ as your Savior. Okay, that's how it is today. Person can get saved. All right, isn't that wonderful? Wednesday night, little children will come. They'll get saved. That's a great thing. And everything. Do you know that during the tribulation, there's going to be a guillotine set up? Okay, you want to be saved? Fine. But we're going to cut your head off if you do. Today we're going to baptize some folks. Isn't that wonderful? They'll get in warm water. Amen. That's a blessing. Nice baptistry there. Warm, clean water. And they'll get baptized. In the tribulation, somebody gets saved. You know what's their reward's going to be? They're going to have their head chopped off. Why would they do that? Because they believe. Many will. Why? They believe the word and the testimony of Jesus. Folks, how's that apply to us? Do you believe? That's how it applies. Do you believe? Because if you read and you hear the word of God and you keep the word of God, God will give you a blessing. But ultimately, he wants you to believe him. He wants you to believe. And you know what I believe? I believe there is a heaven. And I believe I'm going there someday. And I believe the streets are paved with gold, and I believe that everything is perfect there, and I believe the temperature is about 72 degrees all the time in my zone. And I believe that it's a beautiful place, and I believe my mom's there and my dad's there, and there are loved ones there. I've got deacons there. There's people there that I love dearly, and most importantly, I believe that Jesus Christ is there, and I'm going to see him. And he's the light of heaven. And I believe that no matter what happens, no matter what the Antichrist does, no matter what happens to us today, no matter what persecution takes place, we haven't even known persecution, folks, honestly. None of us, nobody in this room really has known. They made fun of me for reading my Bible. Yeah, okay, well, fine. They laughed at me for going to church. Yeah, okay, I understand. Well, they're making fun because I don't use the Lord's name in vain and I don't drink with them and I don't, yeah. But I'm talking about where there's really persecution. And we may not see it in this group right in this room. But I think our kids and our grandkids. But what's the key? That they might believe. Ushers, hurry and come. We got to get some money. Amen. That they might believe. That is the key. We move on now to lesson four. And the assignment is revealed. And perfect timing. It's amazing. Just go ahead and pass those plates if you would. Perfect timing to deal with lesson four as we approach the 400-year anniversary of our authorized English Bible, the King James Bible, and just a great timing because of the assignment that John is given. And God, of course, gives him every word. But he also lets him see. And that's kind of an interesting thing. Not every author just understood what he was writing down or understood it. Like John was, John's seeing everything take place. It's kind of exciting to think about. And so we'll start with lesson four next week. The assignment is revealed, and Roman number one is to see what God reveals to him. Number two, to script what he sees, and then number three, to send what he scripts. And all of that is very, very important as to the assignment that is given to John. You say, you know, what a sad, sad thing for John to have to be on the Isle of Patmos. But that was all part of God's plan because he had an assignment for him. And I hope as we go through lesson four that we will all recognize that God has a plan for our lives. And it is not for us. I'm always amazed at the Christians who, you know, I just want to do what God wants me to do. And then a trial comes and it's like, what are you doing, God? That's probably what God wanted you to do. Did you know that life is not all warm and fuzzy? It's not. And so, again, the personal application, please, whatever you do as we go through Revelation, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Thank you so much, Father, for this time that we could spend in your word. Help us, Lord, as we study the book of Revelation, to be encouraged, to be excited, and to look for your coming. I believe with all my heart, our redemption draweth nigh. And as we think of the Easter season, again, just that much more excited about what you've done for us. Help us in the morning service. Please speak to our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll take a few minutes and have the morning.